Again, welcome. Steve Elzinger here. This is the coaching class, and you've been doing this for perhaps several weeks now. And you probably took this class because you heard about coaching. You're obviously interested in coaching. Maybe you've been trying some of the things that you're learning. You've been trying them out. You've been trying them out in your marriage and with the relationships that you have in your workplace. And you're a little excited about, some of the results. Maybe you've tried counseling. You've given people advice. As a parent, you've tried to mentor and direct your children, and you've had mixed results in terms of success. Or maybe you're a boss and you're trying to motivate your employees, and sometimes they're motivated, sometimes they're not. And you heard about coaching, you're excited about its potential. You heard that it was different than the general way that we try to help people do things and try to motivate people. And so you're thinking about, things you could do with this thing. So in this session, I want to talk about how to start being a coach. Okay, you're taking this class, you might as well do it. It's not just information, but you might as well live it. Regardless of whether you want to become a professional coach or not, what I want to do is show you little by little by little how you can get into coaching, just starting out, and then all the way to actually making a living doing coaching. This is one of the fastest growing professions in the people helping business. It's growing faster than the whole counseling thing and so on, because people are seeing more success. And in some ways, this is a way to help people that aren't necessarily broken. A lot of times counseling is for those that, their whole life is a total disaster, and then we pour all of our energy, especially in the church world, we pour all our energies into helping people that are really hurting, stop hurting, but we don't do anything with the 80% of the people who just need encouragement to become all that God is calling them to be. So if you're a pastor, then and you're frustrated that all of your time is used up with the people that are most needy, and it seems like you can pour your whole life into them and there's very little change, this is a way that you can start pouring your life into the 80% who just need a boost, who just need a little help, a little encouragement, and they can start really making good things happen at your church. So how to start being a coach? Number one, be an informal coach, starting with your own family. Be a coach in your own family. It's a good place to start. In fact, doing things with your family is the basic building block for everything. If you're going to be a preacher, first learn how to preach to your own family. If you're going to do Bible study, you want to be a Bible study leader, see if you can be a Bible study leader in your own marriage or in your own family. If you want to read the Bible and pray, start with your own life. Start with your own family before you start doing it with others. If you want to be a leader, be a leader in your own family first. So be an informal coach, starting with your own family. Instead of directing, telling family members what to do, ask them what they want to do. I know it seems counterintuitive, because as parents, we're used to telling our children what to do. They're the ones who don't have all the information. They haven't lived. They haven't experienced all the things that you've experienced, so you want to pour everything that you've experienced into them. Look, this is what you must do. But then they don't learn how to do for themselves. They don't know how to think for themselves. Allow them to figure things out. That's the best kind of training. That's the best kind of schooling. Not schooling that just gives them all the answers, but helps them figure out how to get to the answer themselves. So instead of directing and telling family members what to do, ask them what they want to do. Now, I know we're afraid to do that because we're afraid they'll say, I don't want to do anything. But ultimately, people want to do something. They want to be successful. So start with that. Don't be afraid of asking this kind of question. Instead of being the answer man, be the question man. My church accuses me of this all the time. Someone will ask me a question. Hey, what does the Bible say about this? And I'll always say, well, what do you think it says about this? They want me to supply the easy answer. They don't want to go through the work. They could be Googling things. They could be looking through their Bibles and searching and trying to find things. And I'm telling you, if they do that, they will get more out of it. If I give them an answer, by the next day, they will forget it. So I always, when someone asks me a question, I always turn it back on them. People want to know why this. I always say, well, why do you think? And half the time, people don't catch that switch. Half the time, they'll tell me what they think. See, and that's a better discussion. A lot of times, we tell people what we think, and they don't like it anyway. Instead of always giving your opinion as if it were the truth, ask for their opinion. A lot of times, we tell people what we think as if we know. No, this is what we think. Let me tell you what I think. I'm giving you room to say what you think. If I tell you this is what it is, well, this is how it goes, this is how it is, this is what the Bible meant by that, well, then I'm cutting off discussion. If someone disagrees with me, they won't come back and say anything because they don't want to start this big fight. So they just let it go. But that doesn't mean I've convinced them of anything. Instead of always giving your opinion as if it were the truth, ask for their opinion. Instead of dictating the plan of action, let others figure out the plan. So in your family, there's a problem. One of your kids is struggling in school. Instead of dictating, this is not what we're going to do. You cannot play until you do your homework first. Let your son or let your daughter come up with that plan. What do you think we should do about this? What would help you succeed in the school, getting behind in the homework thing? You know, now, I know sometimes it's, you know, at first when you do this, it doesn't work because the kids are uncooperative. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to say anything because in the past, you have all the answers. And they're just going to sit back and wait for you to give all the answers. You're in charge. You're in control anyway. So why should they get involved? And so family members just sit back and let you figure it out. Of course, they're not motivated. And then they got to follow through. So it's going to take a while to get past this. It's going to take a while for your family members to get the point that you're dealing with them differently, that you're giving them a sense, you're giving them respect, that you are communicating that you have confidence in them, that they can figure this out, that we can do this together. That you, the parent, aren't the one dictating and controlling the whole situation. You're treating them with respect and honor. Instead of managing everything, let another family member manage some things. Instead of you controlling how it's all going to go, let them. You know, the dinner. You know, someone's going to make the dinner. Let them figure it out. Yeah, will they do a great job? Who knows? But isn't that what you want your kids to be able to do, to figure out things for themselves? And then let them manage the process. They'll find out that managing is not easy. That maybe you have to write some things down. They have to make some mistakes in managing things and managing the vacation, the family vacation. Where do you think we should go? What do you think the plan should be? What do you think we need? Number two. So start with your home. It's a good place to start. Then number two, be an informal coach, continuing with all your relationships. You can take these same principles and apply them to your friendship circles or the people that you are in a hobby with or the people that you work with. Start by really listening to the people in your life. Listen long enough to figure out where they're frustrated, where they're excited in their life, where they're confused, where they're struggling. So you listen long enough so that they say some things, that there's a little emotion that comes through, and then you follow through with questions on that. Hey, it seemed like you were struggling in this area. Can you tell me more about that? So you can do this, you can do coaching without them knowing that you're doing coaching. And in the end, you can help them figure out an answer to their own problem. Follow up your listening with questions that get people in your life to think for themselves. All right, so you start with your family, start with the people that you know. And I'm really serious about this is where you need to start. Don't just start, but you know, I've taken a class, now I'm a professional coach. No, you're not. Because you've lived so much of your life in the other way of thinking, you know, where we give advice, you want to teach somebody something, you want to show them the way, you want to mentor them, you want to train them, okay? So much of our life is that's our default setting. And even though you've listened to me say all these things, you are probably going to fall into the giving advice and telling people and showing people what to do. And not being patient to let them figure it out. So you need to practice in your family. You need to practice in all your relationships. And then when you get reasonably good at it, then you can do number three. Be a volunteer coach at your church. Well, what is that? Get official permission from your church to do this. Don't just start doing this or you'll run into problems with the pastoral staff. And legitimately so. You're taking a leadership role in the church and you need to come under the covering of your church. I know sometimes this is frustrating because maybe sometimes the leadership of your church doesn't recognize that you're learning and that you're growing. They have a view of you that's over here and you've been at Christian Leaders Institute. You're taking training. You're taking courses, you're learning, you're growing, you're not the same person you were, but they don't know that. You have to deal with that problem. And if you're totally, absolutely frustrated and you've done all that you could, you tried to talk, you've tried to be patient, and it doesn't work, then maybe you just need to go to a different church. But don't just start doing something. Or you will offend the leadership of your church. You need to come under the spiritual covering of the authority of your church. The people that have been called to be leaders of that church. You may not always agree with them, but they are the leaders that you are under. And you need that covering. So get official permission from your church to be a volunteer. So you might go to your leadership and say, here's what I've done. Here's the course I've taken. If you want to look at some of the course, you can look at the course. People can look online. They can listen to these lectures if they want. Have them listen to one to see what kind of training you've gotten. And then ask them, you know, I want to be a sort of a volunteer coach. I'm not going to charge any money. I'm going to let, you know, and I want people to know that I'm just starting out. I'm not maybe the best that there is, but free is pretty good. I'm willing to try this with people if people are willing to do it. And you might write down, you know, this is what I do. This is what I want to do. Officially take clients and work with them under the supervision of your church. So always keep your leaders abreast of who you're talking to and what you're doing. Don't do the Lone Ranger thing or people will be distrustful of that. Okay, so volunteer in church. And in one of the things that I would do is I would make a little flyer, a little pamphlet of what it is that you're doing. What is your philosophy of a coach? What is coaching? You know, some of those things that I talked about in the first two sessions of this class, I'd go back and write some of those things down. Give people an example of what you're trying to do. And you know, I just did this with a married couple. They were frustrated. They were working with a counselor. They were sort of getting nowhere. And they called me and was talking to me. And I said, well, if I were to meet with you, this is what I would do. And I described this whole coaching thing. I did it in 3 minutes. I said, I don't have to get into the past. I don't have to go into, you know, the hurts and what's going on, all the things that led up to this problem and so on. What I want to focus on is behavioral change, getting you to figure out what it is that you want to do, what you, the husband, what the wife, what things are you actually going to do that will make a difference in your marriage going forward. And when she heard what I wanted to do, she said, okay, yeah, that sounds interesting. Okay? She knew what the other thing was, and it was they were going nowhere with it. So I described briefly what coaching is. It's about helping people figure out an answer to their own problems. It's about listening and asking questions. It's about action, finding something to do and holding people accountable to that thing. I described that in 5 minutes. And that was enough for her to go, yeah, I think that would be interesting. That's exactly what we need. So I would print up something like that said, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. So people can look at it and see it and read it and go, this is maybe something that might work. All right, number four. So you start with your family, you start with people you know, your work, friends. Then you take it to the next level in your own church. And then this is sort of the final level. Start your own coaching ministry. And I wouldn't do this until I have a lot of experience. You don't want to project to your community that you know what you're doing before you know what you're doing. Doing it informally is a way of saying to your community, look, I'm in training. You know, let's keep the expectations low. A lot of things don't work out because of people's expectations. Don't come in with such high expectations. So get some experience under your belt. And then when you feel confident, you've had some successes, you've helped people change things about their lives, go to the next level in their lives, then maybe you're ready to start your own coaching ministry. Register as a business. Every country has its own way of doing that. Acquire a space to do the coaching. It's hard to do the coaching out of your home. It's hard to do coaching in a client's home. There's all these distractions. Whether you have an office or whether you can borrow an office, I wouldn't do it like in a public space. You want people to be able to focus on what they want to do. Get clients. Where do you get clients? Well, you get clients at churches. Again, you need permission from your church. Hey, I'm starting this thing, and I want to offer my services to the church, if you're willing. And you can go to your own church. Remember, maybe you've been volunteering in your church already, but now you're saying, hey, you've seen some of the effects of what I've done, and hopefully the people in your church have seen that, and I want to go to the next level. I want to start making this more my ministry. And so, I want to pursue clients in our church, if that's okay, or you can refer them to me. But you can go to other churches in your community. We have a counselor that comes to our church. He's someone that I knew growing up. He was in a church near where I was in my first church. And he became a counselor, and he wanted to do counseling. He takes some space in our church, and he offers some free counseling to people in our church. But he went to all the neighboring churches and said, "Hey, I have something available to your members if they want it." And he had a little flyer, what he does and how he does it. So again, you're talking to your church, but maybe you're talking to other churches as well. But or you might go to a business, and say, "Hey, I'm here to help some of your employees and some of your leaders sort of maybe take it to the next level or solve their problems." Or find what your clients in some niche. A niche is, a certain area of life. We'll just look at some of them. Sports. This is where coaching really started. You have people that want to do well in a particular sport. You have a coach who has been there that knows how to motivate and help people excel. So, and maybe that's the direction you want to go. So you go to all the sports teams and you're helping people achieve what they want to achieve in sports. Or again, business. Or maybe you want to focus on marriages. That this is the arena that you want to spend your time coaching. The more you figure out a certain arena, the better you get in that area of life. Or job searches. A lot of people struggle with trying to figure out what they want to do and then having a plan to pursue what they want to do or even a plan to figure out what they want to do. So there's a whole area of coaching associated with job searches. Elderly parents. And I'm just giving you some possibilities. I mean, the possibilities are infinite. But at least in our country, our population is becoming older. People are living longer. So we have older people who have really old parents. And what do you do? And how do you take care of them? And people are struggling in that area. They don't know what to do. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of frustration. So there's a lot of people who need someone to come alongside of them to help them figure out what is the best solution to these problems. So there's all kinds of different niches. Entrepreneurs, maybe you're business inclined, you've started businesses, and now you're there to sort of coach someone through that whole process. Again, you're not telling them what to do. You're not the coach coming in saying, look, I started a business, I know how to do this, and here's what you need to do. Step one, do this. Step two, step three, step four. You know, that's teaching, that's mentoring. Coaching is, look, I've been where you are, and I believe that you have the goods to do this. You have the skills, the abilities. I'm here to help you figure out how to do this. What do you think you need to do? I'm going to keep asking questions until you figure out what the steps are to starting this business. Health and fitness. This is an area where many coaches, people want to be healthy. Again, coaching is really trying to help people do what they already want to do. They just can't do it. Well, people want to be healthy. People want to be fit. They want these things. People don't want to be overweight. They don't want the effects of that, being tired, susceptible to things like diabetes, disease, heart disease. No one wants this. But we struggle in doing what we want to do, and so we need a coach to help us, to come alongside, to make us focus on what we're going to do and the steps that we're going to do it, and then to stick with the plan that we come up with. So you might go into that arena. All these areas right now in our culture have professional coaches, and people that are willing to pay people to help them in all these areas. Church growth. Maybe you're here at Christian Leaders Institute because you're interested in ministry. You could become a church growth ministry expert or a coach. Again, you're not giving the answers to people. See, that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people, they write a book and they go, I planted a church. You can plant one too. Here's how you do it. Just follow all the 8 steps that I did. And then people do, and it doesn't work. Why? Because the 8 steps that work for you fit you. And they didn't fit me. And I wasn't motivated like you were motivated. You did those 8 steps because you learned through experiences and it fit who you were. And you were motivated to do what it is that you wanted to do. And so you succeeded. But I'm not as motivated as you were to do the things that you did. And so I don't succeed. And I go, well, that didn't work. And then I read the next book. And I try his 8 steps. And then I try someone else. That's what people are doing right now in church planting. Everyone thinks that there's some magic way of doing it. And so they read about some successful person, or they go to some successful church. They hear exactly how they did it. They have notebooks and here's how we do it. And they just copy everything. And then they wonder why 3 years later they're burnt out or it doesn't work. Because it wasn't them. It wasn't how God wired you. It wasn't the plan that God has for you. So, if you want to go into the, go in, you know, to make a, make a profession or a ministry out of coaching in the ministry world, you're there to help them figure out what God's will is for their life, not what your will is for their life. So going into ministry, again, you're assuming that God is working in them. You're assuming that your client is reading the Bible. You're assuming that they're walking with the Holy Spirit. And you're just helping the client figure out what the Holy Spirit is really trying to get them to do. All right. So, again, you start your own coaching ministry, register, require as a business, acquire space to do some coaching, get clients, churches, business, niches, and this is the final thing, charge for your services. If you're going to make a ministry of this, you need to charge for your ministry or for your services. And by the way, that's the problem with everything else that I talked about. When you do it with your family, you do the coaching with people that you know. When you do it as a volunteer in your church, you're sort of at a deficit with all these things because people can sort of take or leave it. People need to get involved. It needs to cost them something, or people don't take it seriously. That's the problem with free. That's the problem sometimes with the courses you're taking here at Christian Leaders Institute. Because they're free, sometimes you don't work hard at it. It's like, well, it's free anyway. Well, I didn't like that. So you skip on to the next one. So it can be done. You are hopefully succeeding here at Christian Leaders Institute, even though it's free. And maybe you've got involved by becoming a vision partner, and so you're giving some money back to help others around the world who need this training. That's how the ministry actually works. It's generosity driven. People like you get benefited from this material, and then out of that thankfulness, you send some money to Christian Leaders Institute so we can continue doing this for others. Okay, without a sense of involvement, a sense of ownership, things don't happen. So ultimately, if you do start a ministry, do not be embarrassed by charging people. People pay for a lot of things that don't work. This is actually something that does work. And so don't be afraid to do it. But again, ease into it. Start with your family, work with your friends, volunteer at your church, then finally make the leap to a ministry. And I pray that God will bless you in this.